get ready.
Man, I don't ever want to be so woke that me and the KKK are out here agreeing on the same shit. Before they were killing people to keep us from voting, now we talk ourselves out of the shit.
For real talk.
Before you get out here live wrong talking about minimum wages and starter jobs, educate yourself on why the minimum wage was created in the first damn place.
All the time.
You shouldn't be the same person you was 10 years ago. You should be growing towards a better you every day. And the only ones who will be threatened by that are the ones who refuse to grow and are scared their ass gonna get left behind.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
Pine and shots fired, protection envy, the lopsided cop kind. You see the scene of a crime like every stop sign. My section of 21 pound is downtown. They walk around with the guns out, it's wild how the youngest is dumb proud, following the crowd now, leading the blind with their minds up in a SoundCloud. Ain't a lot of sunshine when you want a front line, listening to that ghetto drum line, ducking one time, thinking how the devil doesn't tire even sometime, wondering how the fuck could one's rhyme be this unkind. Everybody cold to me, seeming though this bullshit, the only thing that's sold to me being told we should hold on. Getting old to me, I'm about to buckle, cause holding tight got my hands fully white knuckle. And to be honest, tomorrow is not promised. Whether you on the streets of Chicago or Botswana, you gotta be rock solid, not to be outsmarted, to rise from rock bottom to one of the top scholars. I never asked what's the secret of success, with a target on your back and a scarlet on your chest. Listen, just get it, not a minute to rest. This is not a test, settle for the best, nothing less. Dig it, pick any city, the south side, the drought side. When EMS has arrived, well it's about time. People who just get their tops fried get outlined. Minutes and seconds go clockwise, but not mine. Where I'm from, it's a war scene with morphine, scream for morphine, Zoloft and Thorazine. We don't subscribe to the grand scheme, the plan seems to be keeping us all sick, selling the vaccines. Ain't a lot of fun time when your only son died and your world's coming untied from the inside. That's between affection and depression, it's a thin line. Stress and pressure here is multiplied 10 times. Everything is blurred to me, blessings deferred from me. Fam said it's been a long term since they heard from me. My little homie never made it out of surgery. Sometimes I feel like South Philly trying to murder me.
First everybody's upset, cause you died.
Yo, what's going on everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 252 with a reporter. Right now, we're rocking out to some Black Thought off of that Stream of Thought Volume 2. This is Get Outlined. Rock out with your boy. Yes, indeed, y'all. Yes, and motherfucking indeed. Let me turn that off. It's episode 252 of the Span Report Podcast. And, yeah, man, we doing this here on a Thursday night. This is actually the night we're supposed to really be doing it. I've been doing it on Tuesday nights for the past couple weeks. But Thursday nights are usually the ones where we're really supposed to be doing the Span Report Podcast, right? Because it ain't really a whole lot of things going on. It's ironic, though, the NBA draft is going on tonight. Like, who knew? You know what I'm saying? But, yo, what's going on, Tanisha? How you doing? Yo, we are doing this here live, and this is kind of what we do. The last episode that I put out was not a live episode. It was some audio taken from the State of Affairs Community Breakfast and Conversation that featured commentary from Van Jones, Bankole Thompson, and Dr. Michael Eric Dyson. So I hope you guys got a little bit from that, man. I'm really looking forward to some feedback on that. Let me know what you guys think about me doing that sort of thing, man, kind of going out and just, you know, bringing back some of the information and the things that I've been taking in over the course of the week, man. But it's my first podcast after my birthday. So I appreciate everybody who reached out to your boy, man. Made me feel all warm and fuzzy on the insides, man. Y'all had me over here like, you know, a nigga wanted to tear up. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk, man. Nah. No, man, I really do appreciate everybody who sent out the birthday wishes, man. It's very much appreciated. You know, I really didn't do much anything at all for my birthday, man. Real talk. I didn't plan on doing anything for my birthday. I think I annoyed some people because I didn't really plan on doing anything for my birthday. I just wanted to take care of some business because, you know, when your birthday falls on a Tuesday, it's like, man, what's really popping? You know what I'm saying? What's really popping on a Tuesday? And you don't want to invite nobody out to no shit on a Tuesday. Thank you so much, Jamar. But you don't really want to invite nobody out on a Tuesday to go do some shit with you for your birthday. And then they be like, shit, nigga, I got to be to work in the morning. This nigga out here trying to turn up, nigga. Shit, it's 10 o'clock, nigga. I was supposed to have been in bed a half hour ago. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I hadn't planned on doing anything for my birthday other than taking care of some business and then, you know, possibly kicking it this weekend. You know what I'm saying? You know, because you want to kick it on the weekend when ain't nobody got no real responsibilities. I mean, they probably do, but you know what I mean. So, yeah, man, like I said, thank you for everybody who did that, man. A real talk. I also want to take some time out to thank those who have signed up for our Patreon, man. Real talk, y'all have really come through for your boy. And I really do, like I told you guys, we're trying to move the live shows off of Facebook and take this shit back to Crowdcast. You know what I'm saying? And every dime that you guys contribute to that cause, it really does help. And I want to shout out the people who have contributed to that. And we're going to shout out the homeboy Dre. Dre came through for us on the Patreon. The homeboy Muddy came through for us on the Patreon. Kimberly B. also contributed to our Patreon this week. And Stacy also contributed to the Patreon this week. Your gifts will be on their way shortly. Trust and believe, your gifts are on the way. They have already told me what they wanted. Those gifts are on the way. And you too can get your, you know, get some of those free items out of the Spare Report Podcast Network store if you go ahead and contribute, right? But you got to contribute if you want the free shit. However, for those of you who do really want to patronize us over at the store, man, everything right now, everything in the Spare Report Podcast Network store over at TeePublic is on sale for 35% off right now. And that sale goes on until Sunday. So you got up until Sunday to go ahead and get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a coffee mug, get you some stickers, get you whatever you want up out of the Spare Report Podcast Network store for 35% off. It's a damn good sale, man. Real talk. I ain't even going to lie to you. It is what it is. It's amazing is what it is. You know what I'm saying? But but yeah, man, I really do want to appreciate everybody who's contributed to that Patreon, man. And you can give us money. You can contribute to the Patreon by going to our website at www.thespareandport.com. And in the upper right-hand corner, there's a tab. There's a tab on the upper right-hand corner of the website that says donate. It will take you directly to our Patreon. And our Patreon is three levels. There's the $2 level, there's the $5 level, and then there's the $10 level. You can give $2, $5, or $10 once a month. And that helps us with our costs as far as moving the show off of Facebook and onto Crowdcast. And we really want to do that because Facebook been censoring us over here, Real Talk. So we want to get away from this sort of censorship and go back to how we really used to do this show before we moved over here on Facebook. So every little bit helps. And you can, like I said, you can go to www.thespareandport.com, go there and hit that donate tab in order to do that. But not only can you do that there, you can go there and watch replay. Well, you could watch replays of the show. I used to think that until Facebook started screwing with it. So as of right now, the show is live streaming on the website. You can go there, watch the live streams on the website, but you can go there, you can vote in the polls, you can leave comments there, and you can also donate to the show in another way. You can hit up our PayPal, and our PayPal is for our one-time donators. So for those who don't want to make the commitment of every month, you can go to our PayPal. And our PayPal is for our one-time donations. Man, you can go there, leave a one-time donation. And that link is also at the website as well. So go ahead and hit that up if and when you get the chance. And we appreciate everybody who does who goes about the business of doing that. It really does help the show go, right? Also, man, go ahead and leave us an iTunes and or Stitcher Radio review. 5 stars, preferably. Those 5-star reviews are the ones who get read live here on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who goes about the business of doing that. It doesn't cost you a dime. Just 2 minutes of your time to help us out. Let everybody everybody know why you fucking with us over here at the Spin Report Podcast, right? Also, man, follow your man Span on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead, follow me there. Chop it up with your mans throughout the week. You can also hit us up at the email, man. Feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave me those emails. And, of course, those emails will get read here live on the show. And we will respond to you live here on the show. And as of right now, the hotline is hot. I mean, it's hot right now. You know what I'm saying? Hit that hotline up at area code 313-288-0485. You can hit that number up, 313-288-0485. And while we're doing the show live right here on Facebook, you can chop it up with me right here on the show while we're doing this. You can talk, you know, like, let me know what you're thinking about, what the fuck it is I'm talking about right here on this mic, right? So that's going on, man. Also, I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. So let's take that down, man. Let's go ahead, take that down. And yes, man, it is time for us to get into the show, man. Real talk. I got some random thoughts, man. I don't really have these a whole lot. And some of you may have been like, sometimes when some shit pops in my head, you know, I get on social media, I mean, huh, and I type it out. And a lot of times it ends up as a Facebook comment or a Facebook status or some shit like that. Just a little random thing. But one of the things I was thinking about, and I talked about this on social media about a week and a half ago, is like I was at work and I saw a squirrel die, man. It was terrible. It was fucking terrible. And you know what? Y'all who laughed at that shit, y'all terrible too. Y'all some terrible people. I got a bunch of terrible ass friends. You know what I'm saying? But yo, man, I was at work, man, and some squirrels was chasing each other around and shit. And, you know, squirrels are kind of skittish, man. Squirrels look like they got, like, they suffering from a nervous breakdown all the time. Like, squirrels are really motherfucking just, you know, fidgety and shit. And so they saw me walking up. So, you know, squirrels getting the fuck on. And they both climbed up this telephone pole as they were trying to get away from me. Like, I was trying to get at them. And then, like, I guess one of them, like, was, like, he just wasn't really sure of his footing. And he was about a good 35 feet up in the air. And he lost his footing. And he hit the ground hard. And, you know, I was like, you know, rest in peace, little buddy. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, I was like, damn, I felt bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, damn, I wonder if he died because of me. You know what I'm saying? But then I was thinking about it. I really was thinking about this, and I don't know why. But has it ever occurred to any of us that maybe, just maybe, he was feeling like it was the end? You know what I'm saying? Like, he was just sick and tired of all the bullshit going on. He ain't have enough nuts stored up for the winter or whatnot. I mean, he didn't get his early start like he would last year. You know what I'm saying? I wonder if squirrels commit suicide. Like, is that a thing? Do squirrels commit suicide? And my damn sound effects is all low and shit. But do squirrels commit suicide? Has anybody ever thought about that? Has any animal ever really committed suicide? Like, you know what? Like, I'm tired of this shit. I can't take it no more. And they just say fucking, like, hop off of, like, a window ledge or something, knowing that there's not a tree limb there waiting on them. I just kind of thought about that as I was thinking about that squirrel who fell off of that goddamn telephone pole, man. Real talk. Another thing that I was thinking about, man. So Facebook has this thing where they introduce you to some people you may know, right? They call it people you may know, and most of the time it's like, yo, you got a friend of a friend, and they like, well, maybe you know this motherfucker, right? And so every now and again I go through there, and it's like a gang of spans in my shit lately. It's like, I don't know if they're the feds or what, but I ain't never seen so many spans in my life. Like, even like in my family, I ain't never seen as many spans. And like, I keep seeing all these pictures of people you may know and stuff. And as I'm going through the people you may know, because I'm looking for people I just might know, I keep seeing, like, people with these photo filters. You know, they got these little apps on your phone, man. And I ain't talking about the filters like Snapchat when it just make your face look a certain way and all this other shit. No, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the apps where you could change the whole background and shit, make it look like you standing in a palace or something, or you standing on, or you walking on water. You know, motherfuckers be really trying to, like, get real fancy. It's like a really bad Photoshop job, really. But people really, you know, like, oh, man, this look cool. And so what I'm noticing is that, some of y'all been going overboard with this shit, man. Some of y'all need to stop with the photo filters. Real talk. Like, y'all got these clouds and shit y'all putting over y'all pictures. And straight up, I've been confusing these motherfuckers for obituary photos, bruh. Real talk. Y'all got me real confused out here, man. I feel like some of y'all don't went to Glory and ain't told nobody. Like, you know how Facebook got it to where, like, your family can take control of your page once you pass on? I'm thinking that's what's happening with y'all with these Facebook profile pictures, man. Y'all need to cool out with these filters, bruh. Y'all overdoing it. Y'all done jumped the shark on the filters, man. I'm thinking y'all done went to Glory. Y'all got to cut that shit out. Real talk, man. I was thinking about that today, man. Y'all done really jumped. I was like, man, like, y'all... I mean, niggas like putting they in the club, bro. They in the club talking about, and they got the clouds and shit. I'm like, man, what are you doing? What are you doing? Come on, man. So yeah, I was thinking about that. Another thing I was kind of thinking about, man, over the course of the last week, man. Since you know, and this is normally like a sports topic, and I would normally hold this back for like beer and chicken and shit. But you know, the Toronto Raptors are the first time that, like, are the first team to ever win an NBA championship that wasn't an NBA team based in the United States. And I was thinking, you know, the Toronto Raptors have kind of done us a favor, and not only beating the, you know, the Golden State Warriors, because, you know, the whole thing, like, I'm for real, some of y'all, I'm wondering, like, what the next team gonna be? So y'all can pretend y'all that's been your team since y'all was 5 years old and shit. Like, I wonder what the next, because it's going to be another nation. I don't know if it's going to be Dub Nation, but it's going to be another nation pop up around here sometime. But I was thinking, man, you know, them winning the championship has kind of given us the opportunity to, like, not have the debate on whether or not the NBA champion should have to go to meet Donald Trump at the White House. Yo, the Toronto Raptors did us all a huge fucking favor. They can go meet Justin Trudeau and be cool in just that. Like, it's a historical thing for Canada. You know what I'm saying? Like, Toronto has come to rep the entire fucking nation. You know, they used to have a team in Vancouver, but Vancouver done moved down to Memphis now, so they ain't even got that no more. But, like, yeah, man, like, yo, they have really helped us out where we don't even got to worry about whether or not Kawhi Leonard gonna do that awkward-ass laugh at the White House with Donald Trump. Like, real talk, man. Real talk. I was thinking about that. I appreciate Toronto for that, just that alone. Yeah, man, they went to Glory. You know what I'm talking about. Tanisha. You know what I'm talking about. Another thing that I was kind of thinking about, man. So O.J. Simpson is out of prison. O.J. Simpson is out, I guess, living his best life. You see this motherfucker smiling and doing videos on the golf course and shit. He ain't paid the Goldman family none of that motherfucking money he owed them. Like, he just, like, he just giving them the biggest fuck you, man. But one of the things I was thinking about, right? So O.J. Simpson, I'll never forget this. I was 14 years old when O.J. Simpson, well, I was about to turn 14. This happened like a day before my birthday, I believe. In 1994, I was in Las Vegas. I'll never forget it. And O.J. Simpson is on the run in his white Bronco with A.C. Cowlings. And, you know, he's, you know, the police, like, you're ready, you know, hand him up. You know what I'm saying? And so the white Bronco became synonymous with O.J. Simpson. To the point that I think that the Ford Motor Company just stopped making the Ford Bronco on the strength of the fact that O.J. Simpson was linked to that particular vehicle. But we've been hearing inklings, and we've been seeing, like, you know, production or pre-production models of a new redesigned Ford Bronco and everything. And I'm just wondering, with O.J. being out and Ford thinking about bringing the Bronco back, like, if O.J. decides that he wants a new Ford Bronco, do they sell it to him? You know? Do you think that, like, the Ford Motor Company were like, nah, bruh, not you. Your credit ain't even, nah, no, your money ain't no good here. like, could you imagine OJ rolling up to the nearest motherfucking golf course in a new white Bronco? Nigga, that, like, he's already trolling. This man has got over 500,000 followers on Twitter already. You know what I'm saying? He ain't been on Twitter but a week. 500,000 followers already. And I think most people are following this motherfucker for the, you know, the train wreck. You know what I'm saying? Like, man, I got to see what the fuck this nigga going to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he already got people making spoof accounts of him. He getting mad. Can these motherfuckers really do this? You know, that kind of shit. But yeah, man, I just wondered about that, man. For bringing the Bronco back, you know, since they about to stop making Tauruses and, you know, Fusions and shit. They really sell a lot of Fusions. I'm surprised they're getting rid of that. But yeah, man, they getting ready to get rid of the cars and stuff. They bring it back to trucks, and they bring it back to the Ford Bronco. And yeah, man, I was just thinking, O.J. Simpson, Ford Bronco, they both came back around the same time. Crazy, right? But yeah, that's enough of my motherfucking random thoughts. And it's time for us to get into the news. All right. Our first story here in the news is actually coming right out of Michigan. And this story is coming out of Fox2Detroit.com. And it says, Governor Whitmer proclaims June 19th as Juneteenth Celebration Day in Michigan. So let's see. It says, on the eve of the anniversary commemorating slaves receiving their freedom, Governor Gretchen Whitmer issued a proclamation that June 19th will be Juneteenth Celebration Day. According to Juneteenth.com, June 19th is the oldest known celebration commemorating the ending of slavery in the United States. Going all the way back to the end of the Civil War in 1865, Union soldiers were led to Galveston, Texas, by Major General Gordon Granger to deliver the news. The war is over. Slaves are now free. While this was 2.5 years after Abraham Lincoln's delivered the Emancipation Proclamation in 1863, it had little effect in Texas due to the lack of enforcement. Instead, Granger's arrival was more closely aligned with the surrender of General Lee in April. The official beginning of Juneteenth in Michigan came when former Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm signed legislation designating the third Saturday in June as Juneteenth National Freedom Day in Michigan. Now, therefore, I, Gretchen Whitmer, Governor of Michigan, do hereby proclaim June 19, 2019 as Juneteenth Celebration Day in Michigan. I encourage all citizens in the state of Michigan to participate in the Juneteenth Freedom Festival and celebrate African-American history and culture while continuing to promote diversity, equality, and a strong sense of community in our state. Known as General Order No. 3, it was read to the people of Texas, beginning with the noteworthy statement. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with the proclamation of the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection therefore existing between them becomes that between employer and free laborer. There was a range of reactions to the statement, varying from shock to excitement. Many left the plantation immediately, even with nowhere to go. Many felt the logical decision was to leave their servitude. Some left for the North. Others reached out to family in neighboring states. Over the years, the term Juneteenth would become synonymous with celebration and reassurance, with the city of Galveston becoming a site for many to pilgrimage in honor of General Order Number 3. So, here's the thing about Juneteenth. A lot of people aren't necessarily aware of the holiday. They're just not aware of it. And I saw this playing out a little bit over on social media where, you know, there's a lot of people who's like, yo, man, they didn't teach me this in high school. They didn't teach me this in middle school. They didn't teach me this in elementary school. This was not a part of the curriculum. Some folks were saying that they didn't learn about Juneteenth until they got to college and were taking college level history courses. Some people were even like, yo, man, I didn't know anything about this shit until social media. I learned about this through social media. One of the things that I wanted to kind of ask you guys, and there's a poll set up on this particular episode. You can go to the website, episode 252. You can vote in that poll to let me know, like, how did you find out? How did you learn about Juneteenth? Because, you know, there's the whole thing of, you know, we celebrate the 4th of July for the independence of the United States of America. But even while the United States of America was declaring their freedom from the British rule, black people in America were still under the rule of white people here in America. And they still had their foot on our necks to the point where, you still have people who were enslaved 2 years after that Emancipation Proclamation because news didn't travel that fast. And, them slave masters was like, if I ain't got to tell them, why the fuck would I? You know what I'm saying? So, Juneteenth has been declared a holiday here in Michigan. The other part that I think is very interesting too is that, like, even though Juneteenth has been declared a holiday here in Michigan, like, very few people actually know about it. I think one of the things about it is, it's not one of those holidays where you get the day off. And I think that's one of the, like, I think when we get to a point where Juneteenth is celebrated as one of those days where you get the day off work, I think that's when people really start recognizing those things as like a real holiday. Up until then, it's like, what's that shit? President's Day. I don't really count President's Day as like a holiday because my ass still at work. Like, is it a holiday? I can't tell. You know, all I know is like the furniture stores are going to have another ass sale that, like, furniture stores have the most sales, my nigga. Furniture stores be like, yo, we got the third Tuesday in July sale. Everything 35% off right now. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much how people, you know, treat President's Day. I know I treat that shit like that. But, I wouldn't be surprised if furniture stores start like really taking advantage of the Juneteenth and get our Juneteenth sale. You know, everything 65% off or some shit like that. I don't know, but yeah, that's in the news. Another story that's in the news, man. Let me pull this up. Oh yeah, I saw this story, and this is actually kind of interesting because this goes into like the criminal justice system and how the disparities are really affecting how many black people are locked up and, you know, in comparison to our white counterparts, right? So this story is actually talking about how when you're being charged with a crime by the prosecutor's office, a lot of time they're given information like your name, your age, where you're from, and your race and everything, right? And then they make a determination in the description of the crime, and then they make a determination as to whether or not, or as to what you will be charged with. What they're trying to do now in San Francisco is they're starting a thing called blind prosecutions, where they're actually not giving the prosecutors that information, your name, your age, where you're from, and your race, and they're just giving them the crime and asking them to charge cases based on that information alone. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of the New York Times. It says, while riding the train in San Francisco 3 years ago, a white man told an African-American man that he smelled bad and should move away from him. An argument followed, and the African-American man, Michael Smith, was eventually tackled by police officers and accused of assaulting them. The San Francisco District Attorney's Office charged Mr. Smith with 7 counts, including battery on a police officer and resisting arrest. But after viewing body camera footage, a jury acquitted Mr. Smith, then 23, on most of the charges, and the prosecutors dropped the other counts. Mr. Smith's lawyer said that he does not believe a white person would have been arrested or prosecuted. While the district attorney's office disagreed with that assessment of the case, George Gascon, the district attorney, has acknowledged that a disproportionate number of African Americans are prosecuted in the city, which led him to ask a troubling question. To what extent does bias affect the work of prosecutors? As a result, the office has begun experimenting with an approach that it describes as blind charging, which prevents prosecutors in one of the nation's busiest district attorney's offices from seeing demographic information before making an initial decision on whether to charge someone. Criminal justice experts said that San Francisco appeared to be the first of such office in the nation to test that approach. The question we want to ask ourselves is, would you charge just based on the behavior without the race or other demographic information, said Mr. Gascon. We wanted to see what might be causing a disparate application of the law. And so this kind of goes into that whole notion of like, you know, there's an attitude in America, and it's held by both black people and white people, that black people are predisposed to committing crimes. And that's why we see more black people locked up for various drug charges. You know, this is why you see black people in jail for, you know, some more violent offenses like robbery, murder, manslaughter, those sorts of things. And so anytime you get into an argument with anybody about, you know, crime data, and how the law is being applied, you know, this is one of those things that is never taken into account, is that the simple biases that we have built into America's system, and not only the system, in American society, the biases that we have in American society kind of skew how these numbers are going to play out. And especially when you can take these biases into the system with having this sort of information, as opposed to just taking a look at what the actual crime is supposed to be, and then judging that whether to charge someone based upon the actual circumstances of the events. So it says, in recent weeks, the office has begun by removing details like race and names from police reports before turning those cases over to prosecutors to decide whether to press charges. Starting in July, the office intends to employ computer software designed by Stanford University researchers to redact the suspect's race and name and that of the victims. Also removed will be the locations where the crimes were said to have been committed. The only information prosecutors will initially have access to is an officer's incident report, which generally includes the reason someone was stopped before an arrest, evidence that a crime was committed, witness statements, and anything a suspect might say. Now, here's the other part that I think is going to be very interesting, is that some of these crimes, because they're going to go to this blind charging system, I wonder how many of them are going to try to start filling in the blanks and charge, and maybe overcharging. You know, this is a possibility too, that maybe overcharging in the event that they think that this got to be, like, it's almost like the Guess the Race segment on the Black Guy Who Tips, where like you hear a certain story, like, oh, this got to be some nigga shit, or this got to be some white people shit. Like, you wonder how much of that is going to play into how the prosecutors are going to decide how to charge these cases, and fill in those blanks in that way because they're not going to have this information anymore. It says, only after assistant district attorneys make a preliminary decision about charges would they be permitted to access other information, including race and other demographic details, body camera footage, and photos. In each case, regardless of the initial charging determination, all of the evidence will ultimately be reviewed, prosecutor said. If a prosecutor comes to a different conclusion between the first and second steps, that will be recorded and compared to historical data. Prosecutors will also be required to explain what changed their minds, and those patterns will be studied, the office said, which is very important. Right. Which is very important, because if you decide that you want to change or elevate the charges based upon who those charges are being meted out against, then this is how you start to nail down where these particular biases are really starting to take hold. And like, and you can point directly to it. So I think it's very well, I think it's a good thing that San Francisco is actually trying this out. I would like to see this happen in more districts other than San Francisco, but it's a good start. You know what I'm saying? It's a good start to see exactly how these charges are being meted out and in what ways personal biases, societal biases are affecting how charges are being meted out when it comes to interactions with the criminal justice system. So, yeah, that's in the news. Another story that is in the news. So I'm sure a lot of you may have seen that there is a police brutality case kind of going on out in Phoenix, Arizona. There was a family out there that was There was a family out there who was held at gunpoint by Phoenix police because a four-year-old girl walked out of a dollar store with a Barbie, right? And so this family is suing the city of Phoenix for to the tune of $10 million. But not only that, they got somebody else in their corner, man. They got the homeboy Jay-Z stepping up to say, yo, I got their legal defense.
You got too much dip on your chip.
That's for Phoenix, because I don't think the city of Phoenix or the Phoenix Police Department would have ever seen themselves in this particular predicament where they got somebody with that level of money, power, and respect. Dig that. In the form of someone like Jay-Z and all of the resources that he brings forth with him and the attention that this case has gotten all across the country for what has happened. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of News1.com. It says, viral video of a rogue police officer pointed a gun at a black family in the presence of an infant and young child in Phoenix, Arizona, angered countless people across the country. Newly released police documents show that the cop involved was not completely honest in his report about the incident. Are they ever? Are they fucking ever? Now one hip-hop legend is lending a hand to the family in a major way as they begin the process of seeking justice. Witness video of the May 29th incident shows Phoenix police officer Christopher Myers screaming threats and profanity toward a black family in a van that contained Drayvon Adams, 22, and his pregnant fiance Aisha Harper, 24, and their two young daughters. You're going to get fucking shot, the cop yells at one point. I'm going to put a fucking cap in your fucking head, he said in another instance. Meyer also pointed a gun at the group, threatening to shoot them and demanding Harper put her baby on the hot ground despite the fact that she could not walk. And all of this because a four-year-old allegedly took a 99-cent doll. On Saturday, ABC 15 obtained a copy of the full police report, which was written by Meyer, and found that there were major differences in what was seen on the video and what was written in the report. The news outlet reported that Meyer made no mention of holding the family at gunpoint, only writing that Aisha was then removed from the vehicle. He also did not talk about how he kicked Ames in the leg while he was being handcuffed, which he only stated that Ames began to tense his arms and turn back towards me. I made him spread his feet. Now, interestingly enough, like, and I'm gonna go back to some personal shit that happened to me in my dealings with the police. I go back to that gun charge that I caught in Chicago a few years ago, where, you know, you kind of want to believe the police, right? You've been brought up all your life to believe that the police are like worthy of they get the benefit of the doubt. You know, they've been given the power of the state to, you know, met out laws and to enforce the laws and to protect and serve and all these things. And I'll never forget when I was at my arraignment, when they charged me, when I got caught for that gun, when they charged me for the guns that I had. I did not have a gun on me. Gun in my luggage, in my grandma's house, 5 miles away. And I'm in the arraignment and I'm listening to the charges that they're talking about. And they said that they found the gun in the car with me. Found a gun in the car with me with an additional magazine of ammunition. The only thing they found in my car was the ammunition. I didn't have a gun at all, right? And so it's one of those things where we give these police officers all this leeway, man. The police can never do no wrong, man. Especially like white America really feels like the police. We understand that the police is really here to protect them. That's who they're protecting and serving. Not necessarily those in the inner city, so to speak. But like you see this all the time where the police officers are actually they lie on reports all the time. And there's really no like justice. You know, there's no. Is there any real punishment for it is what I'm really trying to get at. Like, because they do this routinely. This is something that routinely happens where police officers go, by and large, police officers will lie on a report to cover their own ass. I mean, at any job, I know a lot of jobs, man, people will do things, they will say things that they were just doing to cover their ass. And they know they fucked up. They know they fucked up. But what was interesting about the fact that they fucked up is that, like, now cameras are everywhere. So it really didn't make much sense for them to lie in the way in which they did. And unless, of course, they didn't think this would go as far as it did. And so now, because everyone was out there with their cell phones and documenting what was going on, like, you know, now you're seeing a level of accountability being meted out to a degree. It says another glaring omission was found when Meyer failed to mention that he ordered to put her child on the ground as he claimed Harper refused to put the child down. She became loud, verbally abusive, and refused our commands. Following the massive outrage, Jay-Z's philanthropic organization within his entertainment company, Roc Nation, offered to provide legal support to Ames and Harper, who filed a claim on Thursday demanding $10 million from the city of Phoenix. According to AZ Central, Roc secured high-profile attorney Alex Spiro and is demanding the termination of the police officers involved and plan on filing against one of the officers for child neglect. So, yo, man, you know, the interesting thing about Jay-Z, right, is that, and I mentioned this before, I think he's been champ of the week on the Span Report before, is that, like, we kind of witnessed, like, a full kind of transformation for Jay. You know what I'm saying? Like, in the sense of, like, he's kind of turned this shit around. To, like, he's a full-blown activist in many ways. Like, you think about where and how he's spending his money in philanthropic efforts, right? So you think about the fact that they were for Mother's Day, they were bailing out moms in I think it was county jail so that they can be out and spend that time with the kids. Did the same thing for Father's Day. When you think about Jay-Z, Beyonce donating monies to get people out of jail, bailing them out of jail for demonstrations when it came to Baltimore, when it came to Ferguson, like doing this in the background and then it coming out later, you know what I'm saying? And then putting, like, you think about the Khalif Browder documentary, you think about the Trayvon Martin documentary, you think about his efforts in this particular thing right here. Jay-Z is kind of really taking his wealth, taking his influence, and taking some of his political clout, because he kind of rolls in those circles now, and like actually moving in a way where he can affect some change in some sort, in very real ways. So shout out to Jay-Z for that, and also shout out to that family, or, you know, you really just kind of like, you feel grateful for that family. Because it could have very well went very tragically. You know what I'm saying? It could have very well went very tragically. So we are glad that that did not happen. But that has been our news. All right, now, our first story. As a matter of fact, before we get to our first story in Blue Blazes, we got to do this.
What in Blue Blazes is going on out here?
This nigga just say Blue Blazes.
All right, now, our first story here in Blue Blazes is this, man. So check this out.
In other news, all right, listen up. Grab the potato chip.
Oh, there's video, but she's too loud. Anyway, I went to the doctor this week, right? You know, I got to do my yearly physical and everything. And, like, your man span and, like, put on some pounds. I think I spoke about this on the show a couple times. I'm at the doctor yesterday. And, you know, we going over, you know, how I feel. You know, I got any aches and pains. You know, what's my diet like? And it's kind of trash. But he's like, yo, you do know that, like, for the last 4 years since you've been seeing me, that you put on 10 pounds every year. Yeah, yeah. I've been packing them on, you know what I'm saying? Your man span looking a little thick around here, you know. I try to wear it well, man. Sometimes I might suck the gut in a little bit, you know, try to look, you know, look presentable, you know, look like I got a little muscle around here, you know. But yeah, man. my body has changed, and I got one of them dad bods, right? But apparently, the dad bod is actually more desirable for women than the six-pack is.
What?
I said the dad bod is more desirable to women than the six-pack.
What?
I said that, you heard me, nigga.
It's not never, not never.
I'm saying this is what they saying. All right, so we're going to read this story here. This comes out of WCNC. It says, listen up, dads. We have an early Father's Day gift for you. Go ahead and grab the potato chips and a slice of pizza while you're at it. Stop sucking in your belly because your dad bod is hot. Really? According to a new study, 80% of men say that they're very happy with their physique, and nearly 70% of people say that a dad bod is actually a turn-on. Even more surprising, almost half of women say a dad bod is a new six-pack. You got to be fucking kidding me. Oh, that's the end of the story.
When I found out about Calvin and Elaine and my...
Okay, I don't appreciate that at all. I don't appreciate that at all. No, now, you know what's funny about that, man? Like, so, check this out. You know how, like, dudes, they'll be on, like, you'll see, like, a really hot woman on, like, Instagram or like, Twitter or Facebook or whatever. You see a woman anywhere, and she looks really good, right? And it's always some, like, you know, SpongeBob-built nigga. You know, like, man, shit, she a little fat around the thighs, though, bro. Like, her thighs rubbing together, man. That's a little bit too much for me. And you be like, for real, nigga? Like, have you seen you lately? You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's weird in, like, the ways in which we, you know, like, the ways, like, social pressures have kind of, like, you know, skewed how we find what's desirable, right? Well, you got some dude, like myself, who hasn't necessarily taken the greatest care of his body, and he feels very comfortable pointing out somebody else's flaws and saying that, well, that ain't good enough for me. You know what I'm saying? And yet, his not necessarily taking care of body is being presented as, you know what? People find you hot. I think this might be a little bit of propaganda, man. I ain't falling into it. I got a dad bod now. I don't want it. I don't want this shit. I kind of want to get back, you know what I'm saying, in my basketball playing weight when your boy Span was like 185, you know what I'm saying? Going ahead, you know, dunking on niggas. You know how I used to do. Nah. That's been a long time. It's been a long time since your boy Span did that. But, yeah, man, I don't know if I believe this shit here. I don't know if I believe it, but that's in Blue Blazers. Another story that's in Blue Blazers, man, there's some crazy shit going on. And why does my pocket keep, like, changing shit up on me? Let me pull back my list. All right. So here's another crazy story that's in Blue Blazers. So check this out, man. An Alabama man fed meth to a caged attack squirrel.
God damn!
How the fuck do you get an attack squirrel? How do you make those? So, we're going to read this story. This comes out of clickondetroit.com. It says that police in Alabama on Monday were searching for a man who kept a caged attack squirrel in his apartment and he fed it methamphetamine so that it would stay aggressive, according to authorities. Mickey Polk, 35, is wanted on charges of possession of a controlled substance, contain persons forbidden to possess a firearm, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Polk was not home Monday when investigators arrived at his apartment to execute a search warrant. The squirrel was among several items seized from the apartment, a Limestone County Sheriff's Office spokesperson told the News Courier. The investigators also seized methamphetamine, drug paraphernalia, ammunition, and body armor. Prior to executing the warrant, investigators were informed that Polk kept an attack squirrel in a cage and that he fed it meth. An animal control deputy arrived and the squirrel was released successfully with the help of the Alabama Game and Fish Division of the Department of Conservation. There is no safe way to test a squirrel for meth, according to officials. In Alabama, it is illegal to have a pet squirrel. So, y'all just let the attack squirrel free? Like, y'all couldn't take time to, like, to wean the squirrel off the shit? You know what I'm saying? So now the squirrel out here attacking other squirrels because he think they got the shit and they don't? You know, he out here attacking people because he think they got the shit and they don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Y'all got to think about this, man. It's a fucking attack squirrel. We ain't never seen no shit like this. And y'all just set that motherfucker free? Now, I know, like, it's a Republican state and everything, and I'm pretty sure y'all out in the woods, y'all might have all your guns, you know, you got the 22 long rifle, and you're probably out there plinking with it, you know what I'm saying? But it's an attack squirrel, G. It's an attack squirrel. You ain't never seen no shit like this before. It's on, it's cranked up on meth, dog. Can you imagine, though, like, the attack squirrel coming up to you, but he gumming you because he ain't got none of his teeth? I know, we were talking about, like, you know, squirrels committing suicide and shit earlier, but yeah, man, I'm just saying. It's some crazy shit. A fucking attack squirrel. Who knew? Now, this next story that we got here in Blue Blazes is not necessarily so humorous. And it's actually one of the reasons why I decided to name this particular episode the way that I did. Because, truth be told, there's a lot of brothers who are under the impression that when women say that, you know, men are trash, that somehow it applies to them. And maybe rightfully so. And sometimes it doesn't apply to them and they're still pissed off, right? And so this one story that I saw earlier, like I think it was like last week or so, this story I saw was of a woman who was leaving a store, going to her car, and she was being followed by this dude that she didn't know. And this dude at first tries to present himself. He tries to present himself as someone who's a nice guy being misunderstood. But then suddenly, When he realizes he's being videotaped, and then she gets around some more people and he realizes he's being videotaped, suddenly he kind of becomes an agitated, maybe dangerous assailant. So we're going to play this video. Let me pull this up so you guys can watch with me here in the chat. Let's do this. Let's take that down and let's go ahead and wait. Where's the video? Okay. Oops, something's not right. Oops, something's not. Is this it? Yeah, this is it. All right, so let's do this here. So I can pull this up so you guys can really see this. Hold on just a second. We're going to maximize that there. And now you guys can see it. So check this out. Let's do this. Let's unmute it. And here we go.
I'm about to record you because if something happened to me, they gonna have you on camera.
That's right.
Somebody come get their family member.
That's right.
Following me.
That's right.
Yep. Bye.
That's right.
You're not getting in my car.
Look.
You tripping. You're not getting in my car.
Camera. Look. Wait.
Unlock my door. Wait. But you rushed to my passenger. You're not getting in my car. Sorry.
Put me on camera first.
Yep. Hey, you are on camera.
Hey, look. She can't trust the most trustworthy nigga. Shit.
I already told you. I'm not single.
Now listen, this nigga just said she can't trust the most trustworthy nigga. She ain't gonna get nobody. Nigga, she don't know you. She don't know you. And it's a whole lot of dudes walking around who think they nice guys, right? Who present themselves as nice dudes. Like, because you're like, hey, I opened a door for her, or I opened like a door I left it open for her, and like, I'm a nice guy. Now you were just being polite, you know. We kind of expect sort of these sort of things. Your mama might have taught you that. Your daddy probably taught you the same thing. But you think you're supposed to get something for that other than a thank you sometimes, right? This dude is creeping this woman out to the point where she felt like she had to pull out her phone in case some shit happened. And he's talking about, yo, I'm a nice guy. She's doing me like this. She ain't gonna get nobody. Again, nigga, she does not know you.
So I don't know why you following me.
Look, I even help bitches that's drunk. I don't even rob drunk bitches.
I even help bitches that's drunk. Come on, bro. It's like the nice guy facade is slowly slipping away. He's trailing back into his ain't shitness.
So you can follow me around my car. I'm trying to get in. He ran straight to the passenger side. Can you get away from my door so I can get in my car though? I don't even know you.
Hey, delete that camera. I'll grab that phone from you and break it.
And then, you know what? All these witnesses out here.
Fuck about them niggas.
Look.
Delete that on camera, please.
Well, can you get away from my car?
Yeah, but delete that recording.
I'll delete it as soon as I see you start walking that way. Because for my safety, you just followed me around this store. And then you following me to my car. So, actually, I'm going to go back to the store because you are out of line right now.
Let's walk back to the store.
And you're not gonna.
You can delete the camera.
First of all,
delete that shit.
You're gonna get away from me.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
Suddenly, this dude is realizing, like, oh shit, like, I'm about to be on video. Chances are, if she's live, I'm gonna be on Facebook. Some other people may recognize me doing this stupid fuck ass shit that I'm doing, and it might not work out well for me. It might, I don't know, keep me from getting a job. It might, I don't know, cause me to catch some charges. I don't know. But suddenly, reality starts setting in for a nigga. So now he's threatening her, like, yo, hey, you need to delete that video. I'm gonna break your fucking phone and all this other shit. Like, nigga, you were just telling her you was a trustworthy nigga 2 minutes ago. Just 2 minutes ago, you was the most trustworthy nigga. She didn't, like, she wasn't gonna get nobody if she wasn't fucking with you, right?
I'm waiting for you to delete that shit. You're not about to make no money off of me, cuz.
Nigga, ain't nobody making no money. First of all, do it look like I need to make some money off you?
Yes.
No, I don't. Look like you need to make some money off of me. No, it's not. That's why you...
Hold on, delete that shit. Hurry up.
Hold on. So now it's just fuck black people now. This nigga done went full. This nigga done went full. Now it's fuck black people. You followed this woman out of a You followed this woman out of a store. You followed her to her car. You made it as though you made her feel as though you were gonna try to jump into her car with her. She's videotaping you the entire way. She's telling you you're making her uncomfortable, and you like, now it's fuck black people, cause you out here fucking up. It's crazy, man. This is fucking crazy.
Can y'all call 911? Can y'all call 911? This guy just followed me around the store. And he just... And he tried to follow me to my car and get in my car.
Now he's worried about the recording. Like I said, he keeps talking about delete the recording and all this other shit, right? So, like, here's the thing, man. And this is something that, like, this is something that we talked about quite a bit here on the show. And this is actually something that, this is one of the things that, like, kind of gets in between me and some of my friends sometimes, man, when I talk about these particular issues, because I know a lot of my boys just don't necessarily get it. A lot of the guys I kind of grew up with just don't necessarily get it, is that when women go out, man, like, they're always on guard for niggas like this, right? You know, it's kind of a joke. In some circles, it's kind of a joke. Like when women are going into the club and one of them has to go to the bathroom and they all get up and they go as a crew. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of joked about, but it's the reason why that particular thing happens is because they're looking out for one another. In much the same way that, like, when women go out to the club and it's like, yo, we all came together, we all leave together because we're not going to let our girl go off with some random nigga and something happens to her. They're doing it to protect themselves. And they wouldn't have to protect themselves if niggas wasn't, like, acting like they ain't shit. You know what I mean? If niggas wasn't acting like they wasn't shit. You know, I'm going to tie some other things into this too, right? So there's a couple things that happen. And these is kind of sports related. And these are some of the things that I really would, like, kind of hold back for, like, beer and chicken because it's sports related. But I think it ties into this too. And... that, like, say, for instance, Kellen Winslow Jr., former tight end in the NFL. I think he played for the San Diego Chargers. I know his father played for the San Diego Chargers, but I know he played for, like, the New York Jets. He played for the Cleveland Browns. I think he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Kellen Winslow Jr. was just convicted last week of rape. Former NFL player accused of raping older women, right? He even raped a homeless woman at one point. Now, Kellen Winslow Jr., millionaire, handsome guy, could pretty much have any woman he wanted. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would think that, right? And we all know that, like, when it comes to rape, it's not necessarily about who you can have. It's just more so about the power that you wield and the ability to just kind of take, you know, to lord over someone, or just, like, just to take it from someone who's less powerful than you, or, you know, that whole thing. And you started seeing these stories come out with Kellen Winslow of this dude having instances where he's jacking off in front of his teammates in the locker room on the team flights, and nobody wanted to sit next to him. He was known to bring sex dolls on road trips with him. He was known to watch pornographic videos on the team plane, and nobody wanted to sit next to him on the plane. He was known to jerk off in the locker room in front of his teammates, and nobody said nothing. right? There were no stories written about this shit. There were no teammates leaking these stories out to the public. Nobody knew anything about this stuff until Kellen Winslow Jr. was convicted of raping someone, right? And so I talk about this because when I talk to dudes who are adamant that, you know, when women say dudes ain't shit, that they're painting this broad brush and they don't appreciate the broad brush being painted. And I'm thinking to myself, well, we all know niggas who ain't shit, right? And Kellen Winslow was a nigga who his teammates, who people knew wasn't shit, but nobody said anything until after he did something really, really fucked up and they knew about it, right? He had to be convicted of rape for them to say anything about these other signs that he might not necessarily be able to control himself, that he was doing some really kind of some he was into some kinky shit to the point where he really couldn't control himself. How could you really be sitting in a room with a bunch of dudes jerking yourself off and not think anything was wrong with it in the workplace? You at work, G. Right? That sort of thing. Is kind of what leads a woman to be able to say, like, yo, man, these dudes ain't shit. Because there's a whole lot of dudes who sat around knowing this sort of shit was going on and didn't say a goddamn thing. Right? It's a whole lot of dudes who watched that video, who will watch that video of this woman walking to her car and this nigga following her around and will think, yeah, see, these bitches don't know how to treat a nigga. You know, they don't know how to appreciate a nigga just trying to court them. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I'm trying to get at you, but you don't know how to receive it. You know what I'm saying? It's a whole lot of niggas who will walk away from that video, watching that video, and believe that. Right? Give you another example. LeVar Ball was on ESPN earlier this week. Now, LeVar Ball, this entire thing with LeVar Ball, y'all know I ain't a fan. You know what I'm saying? I've never been a fan of LeVar Ball. I think he gets way too much motherfucking attention comparative to his actual contribution to any goddamn thing. His son is a real fucking star of that family, Lonzo Ball, who now plays for who's been traded to the New Orleans Pelicans. But while he was on ESPN, he was on ESPN's First Take with Molly Quarum, Stephen A. Smith, and Max Kellerman. And Molly Quarum told him, she's like, she would like to switch gears. And he told her, he's like, yo, you can switch gears with me anytime, right? Now, it could come across a bit inappropriate in that moment. And she was kind of taken aback in that moment. And if you saw the looks on the faces of Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith, you can also see that it registered with them. They're like, hey, man, that might not have been right for you to say at that moment. And so ESPN decided, they're like, yo, what we're going to do is we're not going to put LeVar Ball on our airways ever again after that. Right? We're not going to do it anymore. Now, I kind of fault ESPN for even giving that dude the level of notoriety that he's gotten at this point, because it was ESPN who continuously put that dude on television for him to even get to a point where people know his name in the ways in which they do. Because ESPN and Fox Sports were continuously asking this dude to come on television to talk about his sons, as opposed to, I don't know, talk to the sons. They were the actual stars. Excuse me. So, interestingly enough, LeVar Ball gets banned from ESPN. They said, we're not going to put this guy on our airways anymore. And I saw a bunch of dudes talk about, yo, I'm not watching ESPN no more because they ain't fucking with LeVar Ball. And I'm thinking, of all of the things to quit ESPN over, you know, the fire or the letting go of Jemele Hill, the ways in which they had, like, you know, Jason Whitlock on air saying all kind of crazy shit. You know, the hiring of Rush Limbaugh. This is the shit that y'all mad about? That they called out LeVar Ball because he said some inappropriate shit to a woman on air? And y'all mad at that? So because you don't deem what he said to be inappropriate, because you don't deem what he did as inappropriate, suddenly ESPN is off your watch list because they ain't fucking with LeVar Ball no more? And you wonder why women will say niggas ain't shit? Like, these examples, they're like, they kind of like laid out there for you if you're really paying attention. Like, if you're really paying attention, and especially, like, and not only that, and I've said this on the show before, like, the women around you are listening to you. They're listening to you. And they're paying attention. and in recognizing your behavior and your reactions to certain things concerning them. And when they're listening to you and they're paying attention to you and they're, you know, in all those things, they know that there are certain topics that they will never, ever, ever, ever be able to broach with you because of the ways in which you've shown to react to things like Molly Quarum being sexually harassed by LeVar Ball on ESPN, by Kellen Winslow Jr. being able to operate in, with impunity by like sexually, like basically operating sexually in the workplace and then not becoming a news story until he's convicted of rape. And then the ways in which we know guys who will follow a woman out of a store, follow her to her car, make her feel uncomfortable, and then act as if he's the victim because she decided to protect herself by videotaping it. And you wonder why they call you shit. Much like Tupac, like, you wonder why they call you bitch. You know what I'm saying? I've been thinking about this for like at least a week, man. At least a week. It's just real interesting. As I've been watching people react to certain stories surrounding male, female, like interactions and things like that. Watching some of the fellas, man, it's been very interesting to me to kind of watch those interactions. And yeah, man, that's part of the reason why I named this tonight's episode the way that I did. Because yeah, this is fucking stupid. This is fucking stupid. But yeah, that has been Blue Blazes. Uh-oh.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right, so it is now time for... All right, so our first story here and proud to be an American is a Tennessee sheriff's detective and pastor has called for the execution of LGBT people in a sermon at his motherfucking church. That was a lot to say, but we're going to read this story here. This comes out of clickondetroit.com. It says, in Knoxville, Tennessee, a Tennessee sheriff's detective and pastor on Wednesday defended statements he made during a sermon calling for the executions of LGBTQ people. Knox County Sheriff's Detective Grayson Fritz, who is also a pastor at the All Scripture Baptist Church in Knoxville, told his congregation on June 2nd that he believes the government should arrest, try, convict, and execute LGBTQ people, reports the Knoxville News Sentinel. I'm sick of sodomy getting crammed down our throats, Fritz shouted during the sermon. Fritz continued saying that the federal government, the police, or what have you, should enforce Leviticus 20:13. Send the police in 2019 out to these LGBT freaks and arrest them, Fritz told the congregation. Have a trial for them, and if they're convicted, then they are put to death. Do you understand that? It's a capital crime to be carried out by our government. Now, interestingly enough, I would swear this is the kind of person who would be really, 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 really upset if Sharia law was actually enforced here in America. You know, like this, like a lot of conservative folks will really like that. Will try to like claim, like will try to proclaim some sort of moral high ground by saying, well, like in Saudi Arabia, they are stoning people over there. You want to live over in Saudi Arabia or in Yemen? They would cut your head off for doing this sort of stuff. You want to live over there? And yet here we have someone of the conservative slant of the Christian persuasion calling for the exact sort of thing, having a trial, rounding them up, having a trial, and then executing them for loving who they want to love. It's shoved down his throat. Like, I don't know how many, like, he's saying sodomy is shoved down his throat. Has anybody actually seen sodomy that they didn't really, like, look for? Has anybody seen it? I haven't. Unless I was looking for it, and I haven't been looking for it, but I'm just saying, have anybody seen it when they wasn't looking for it? Nothing is being shoved down your throat, metaphorically or literally. You know what I'm saying? But They actually have video of him saying this. So let's go ahead. Let me pull this up so you guys can watch right along with me and see this fuck shit that's got going on here. Here we go.
I'm sick of sodomy getting crammed down our throats. My wife sent me an article last night about Taylor Swift. Do you know who Taylor Swift is? She's some pop singer, okay? About her petitioning the Tennessee legislature to try to get this anti-LGBTQ discrimination bill passed where it'd be illegal for you to discriminate them. It's infecting our nation, people. Culture's changed. The Bible is not outdated, okay? The federal government, the police, or what have you, should enforce Leviticus 20:13.
Whatever happened to that whole separation of church and state thing? You want the federal government to go out here and enforce your religion for you. And that's not how this government was ever set up. It's never been set up that way. This has never been a Christian nation. Not once. Y'all know what it is.
Not never. Not never.
Never has it ever been. Man, let's go.
That is the purpose of this sermon, is to show you that. Those were the laws that civil government would enforce, just like we have laws now. Murder, rape, kidnapping, adultery. They were punishable by death. You get Christians that say, well, I think homosexuality is a sin, but I don't think it should be punished, you know, by the government. Well, guess what? You're so hardcore. It's a sin, really? It is a sin, and it was punished by civil government.
Just not in America. Not in the good old-fashioned U.S. of motherfucking A, it wasn't. Because the founding fathers, they said they wanted to be free of religious persecution, and they wanted to believe in how they wanted to believe and not have the Church of England and the king over there determining where and how they worship. All right? That's how the founding fathers believe. But, it's interesting. Interesting how this dude was a cop. Let's not forget that also. This dude was a police officer. This is a common thing. A police officer who's walking around carrying these sorts of views with the ability to kind of enforce some law and bring in his personal biases and force that upon someone else, right? We don't know how many people who may have been harmed or arrested wrongfully simply because this dude may have perceived them to be of the LGBTQ community or not. Whether they be, you really don't know. You just really don't know how far he took this, whether he brought these sort of radical views into his job as a police officer, right? So, interestingly enough, and this is another story that's connected to this particular guy, but interestingly enough, there was the Cracker Barrel, right? So, the Cracker Barrel, man, they've gone through some things over the years, man. A lot of people I went to the Cracker Barrel a couple years ago. They got some really good food there. It's too bad that their reputation has been marred by their racist motherfucking attitudes. But you know what? You got to be really fucked up to get barred from going to the Cracker Barrel. And that dude was barred from going to the goddamn Cracker Barrel. Yes, sir. So let me read this story here. This comes out of Upworthy.com. It says, if you wonder why the LGBTQ community holds pride parades, look no further than Grayson Fritz. If you don't know who Grayson Fritz is, here's a brief intro. We just saw him. It says, just FYI, this man named Detective. Wait. It says, just FYI, this man was named Detective of the Month in 2017. Let that sink in for a hot second. Pride parades, he continued. Hey, call them riot teams. We got a bunch of them. Get the paddy wagon out here. We got a bunch of them going to jail. We got a bunch of them that we're going to get convicted because they got pride junk on and they're professing what they are and they're a filthy animal. After this onslaught, where's the government's arresting them and carrying out God's laws and they're all dead? And that's only part of it. If you could watch 5 minutes of the sermon here, though I don't actually recommend it. Okay, let's get to the part where they got barred. Okay, so Grayson Fritz and his church planned a meeting for June 29th at the Cracker Barrel in Cleveland, Tennessee. The restaurant said no. So the church website listed a small town soul winning event for June 29th in Cleveland, Tennessee, about 80 miles southwest of Knoxville. Presumably, that's why Fritz and members of his church were planning an event at the local Cracker Barrel in town. But according to the Knox News, Cracker Barrel has turned away Fritz and his gang, citing the chain's zero tolerance policy for discriminatory treatment or harassment of any sort. Cracker Barrel said it told the church it couldn't hold its event at their restaurant. We disagree strongly with their statements of hate and divisiveness. The restaurant chain said in a statement, we serve everyone who walks through the doors with genuine hospitality, not hate, and require all guests to do the same. But for folks who would say, but isn't that just Cracker Barrel discriminated against French for his religious beliefs? No. If the restaurant had said that he and his fellow Christians couldn't eat there because they were Christian, that would be religious discrimination. It is French discrimination, hate speech, and advocating of violence that violates the company's policies or service, not his stated religious affiliation. So, yeah, man, like I said, you got to be really fucked up, for the Cracker Barrel to be like, nah, bruh, I think we good. I think y'all can keep y'all bread. We all right over here. We've had plenty of problems with that kind of nonsense. We don't need them headaches no more. We do not need them headaches no more. Coloreds, y'all are good still. The gays, y'all are still good with us too. We will not let them fuck up our money. All right. So yeah, that's in proud to be an American, man. Another story here in proud to be an American is so check this out. We've been seeing stories all over the country of states trying to basically outlaw abortion rights for women, right? I know Missouri has one abortion clinic in the state, and that state is actively trying to take away their license to operate. And they also have one of those heartbeat bills on the that they've passed. I believe we're up to like maybe, was it 12 states that were trying to do this? And even here in Michigan, like there's a ballot petition, or they're trying to get a ballot petition. They're out here like canvassing for signatures to get people to bring this up to the legislature so that we can vote on whether or not to get rid of abortion here in the state of Michigan, because any legislation like this that comes across the desk of Governor Gretchen Whitmer, she's vowed to not sign it. She vowed to veto it. So they're trying to do an end around where it doesn't even have to go to her desk. They'll put it to the voters, right? And so we're reading this story here out of the Washington Post, because it says five men outlaw abortion in a Texas town, declaring it a sanctuary city for the unborn.
Oh, that was different.
Yeah, so we're going to read this story here. Like I said, this comes out of WashingtonPost.com. It says that five men this week declared a small town in East Texas a sanctuary city for the unborn, commandeering the language of the movement for immigrant rights to counter the reproductive freedom for women. There are no abortion clinics in Wascom, Texas, a city of about 2,200, which lies on the border with Louisiana. But the all-male, all-white city council decided unanimously Tuesday that prohibiting abortion was necessary as a preventative measure. The municipal prohibition, which plainly contradicts the judgments of the U.S. Supreme Court, joins statewide bans of abortion sweeping the country in the wake of the solidification of the conservative majority of the nation's top court. In Texas, abortion has already been banned after 20 weeks. Now in the state, a bill awaiting the governor's signature would require doctors treat a child born alive after an abortion, which rarely happens. Supporters of the city ordinance say that it's the first of its kind in the Lone Star State. The legislation was modeled on a measure embraced 7-1 in March by the City Council of Roswell, New Mexico, which is best known as the site of the purported UFO crash in 1947. Roswell's move to declare its support for fetal life was accompanied by a measure characterizing itself as a Second Amendment sanctuary city in opposition to legislation advanced by the state legislature that expands background checks for private gun sales. Wascom residents said that they are unconcerned by the prospect of a costly legal fight over the abortion measure because, according to the local media, they say God will take care of them. See, this is why the church is, this is why you don't have as many people in the church as you used to. This is why. This is like, you turn a lot of people away from the church. Like, when you start using the church to legislate, when you start using the church to discriminate, you turn a whole lot of folks off. And again, you cannot use your religion to legislate law in America. It's completely un-American, says your founding fathers. That separation, that church and state separation, man. You know, I know a lot of them don't really want to let the facts get in the way of that, but that's kind of is what it is. But it's interesting that, like, yo, you got five white dudes. And can I show this picture? Let me see. Like, I don't know if these dudes are really out here making babies. You know, it's kind of five old white dudes. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of these guys look a day younger than 60. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if y'all really pushing babies out no more. But I go back to this, man. Like, this is, again, one of this is one of the ways in which white men, old white men, got a death grip, man. They're like a death grip on, like, holding on to whatever little bit of political power that they have, because they understand that, like, yo, in like the next 20 years, that white people are going to be a minority in this country. Like, let's keep this 100. A lot of this isn't necessarily aimed at people of color. Okay, let's get that straight. A lot of this isn't necessarily aimed at people of color. What they're really trying to do is force white women to have more babies, so that white women, if they had more babies, could possibly stem the tide of all these other minorities that are having babies here in America. As much as they would like to, you know, purport like, yo, well, African Americans are having the most abortions per capita, you know, so many black babies are killed, that's another black genocide. They don't give a fuck about black babies. They use that sort of rhetoric to get black people to sort of like kind of come around to their line of thinking, to vote for political candidates who would, you know, advance their cause. But truth be told, they don't give a fuck about black babies. Because if they gave a fuck about any of these babies, they would fund education more. They would fund healthcare more. But they don't. What do we get more funding for? We get more funding for wars. Donald Trump is out here right now advocating for possibly a war with Iran. They talk about expanding the military and raising military funding. The military got more money than they can do, like more money than they want. They were like, yo, man, we don't even need all this shit. The Pentagon be like, yo, we don't even need all this. But they giving it to them. They got planes that we don't even fly. You know what I'm saying? They got shit we don't even need. But they're like, yeah, I mean, you know, fuck it. You know, maybe one day y'all might, you know, sometimes you might want to kill a motherfucker from 1,000 miles away. I don't know. But maybe it's good to y'all have it. You know, it's better to have it and not need it than need and not have it. You know what I'm saying? They kind of come up with that attitude. And so you got a whole lot of old white men who are making these laws, who are passing these laws. And it's all to kind of keep control of their level of influence, their sphere of influence in American politics and American culture. And if they can force white women to continue to have babies, if they can force this, then maybe we could stem the tide of these Negroes and these brown people and these Asians from taking over our country. Because that's what it is. They are deathly afraid of being a minority. And the reason why they're deathly afraid of being a minority is because they know the history of how minorities have been treated in this country. And I'll be goddamned if I become one of them. This is what they're deathly afraid of. They don't want to be a minority because they know how America treats minorities. And if they therefore become a minority, oh my God, can you imagine what might happen to them? This is what they're afraid of, right? This is what they're afraid of. They believe that black people and brown people have the same level of ruthlessness when it concerns love, you know, politics, and when it concerns morality and things like that. They believe that we carry around, think about it. They thought we were savages. They thought we were stupid. They had to convince themselves that we were savages. They had to convince themselves that we were inhuman, like superhumanly strong. You know, that's how they justify sending you out to the fields to work you the way that they worked you. And like, when you think about how doctors treat you, like, where they underdiagnose and undermedicate a lot of black, you know, patients. I mean, it's a whole thing, but the point that I'm getting at when it comes to these abortion bills is that this is basically about white babies and keeping America's population majority white. This is what these are for. In the back burner of that, you got a lot of minority women who are being caught in the crosshairs of white men trying to force white women to continue to have babies. So, yeah, they call it a sanctuary city for the unborn. I mean, it's only 2,200 of y'all in that town anyway, and the vast majority of this particular room is filled with white men. I see 1, 2, 3, 4 white women faces in there. Maybe one or two of them faces in there is even capable of conceiving a child. So, yeah, man, that isn't proud to be an American. Another story that's in proud to be an American, man, is that, so I've been trying not to talk about the whole, the president a lot. It takes a lot for me to even, address this dude as the fucking president. Y'all know how I talk about him. He's usually the dude currently occupying the White House right now. Excuse me. But he's still kind of up to his old shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, he got elected and everybody kind of knew that this motherfucker don't necessarily pay his bills. But yo, Trump been out here like going on these, he's been going on these political rallies. And apparently a lot of these towns have to pay the police overtime to, you know, kind of secure these rallies. And the Trump campaign is supposed to pay them for the extra security. But yo, Trump been out here stiffing everybody. He ain't paid them a motherfucking thing. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of NBCNews.com. It says, why hasn't the Trump campaign paid all its police security bills? It says 10 city governments from Arizona to Pennsylvania. Excuse me. It says 10 city governments from Arizona to Pennsylvania say that the president's political committee has yet to pay hundreds of thousands of security bills. Just a second here. Let me. Gotta wet my whistle. Shit. All right. Says the president's political committee has yet to pay hundreds of thousands in security bills. Do we love law enforcement or what? President Donald Trump asked a cheering crowd during his Make America Great Again political rally October 12th in Lebanon, Ohio. Thank you, law enforcement, the police the president later told officers who he called heroes. But when Lebanon City Hall sent Trump's campaign a $16,191 invoice for police and other public safety costs associated with his event, Trump didn't respond. Trump's campaign likewise ignored Lebanon's officials' follow-up reminders to cover the sum, one rich enough to fund the entire police force for nearly 2 days in the modest city of 21,000 between Dayton and Cincinnati. The bill remains unpaid. There's a lot of benefit when the president comes here. Economic benefits, more visibility for our community, Lebanon Mayor Amy Brewer said. But I would hope and believe the Trump campaign would pay its bills. It's our taxpayer dollars. The red ink that Trump poured into Lebanon's thin blue line is no anomaly. At least 9 other city governments from Mesa, Arizona to Erie, Pennsylvania are still waiting for Trump to pay public safety related invoices they've sent his presidential campaign committee in connection with his political rallies. According to interviews with local officials and municipal records obtained by the Center for Public Integrity, some invoices are 3 years old. In all, city governments say that the Trump campaign owes them at least $841,219. Yeah, man, he just, you know.
Ho, brother, whoa, now. You got too much dip on your chip.
Yeah, man, so it says, must Trump pay? That depends on who you ask. The cities are adamant that Trump should pay up, but in many of these cases, there are no signed contracts between the municipal governments and the Trump campaign. The cities dispatch police officers to secure Trump's events because they believe public safety required it and the U.S. Secret Service asked for it. Reached for comment, Trump campaign director of operations Sean Dolman referred questions to the campaign's communication staff, which did not respond to numerous requests. So you know what this means, right? They not getting their motherfucking money, man. This is the loophole right here, that the cities dispatched officers to secure Trump's events because they believed that the public safety required it and that the U.S. Secret Service asked for it. So Trump is going to be like, well, shit, I didn't ask for them motherfuckers to put out no extra police. Even though they were put out there to protect his orange ass, he's not going to pay for that. His campaign isn't going to pay for that. They're going to ignore that shit because, hey, we didn't sign no contracts. We're not liable for any of that. Like, if anybody has been paying attention to the way that this dude conducts business for the last 30 fucking years, you know this dude doesn't pay nobody if he ain't got to. He will sue people. He will go to court. He will stiff people like, hey, sue me and think you're going to get your money. You're going to pay more money in motherfucking lawyers suing me than you will ever get out of actually me paying you any monies. This is how this dude rolls. So it says the Fraternal Order Police which endorsed Trump in 2016, has no formal position on whether presidential campaigns should pay municipalities bills for police protection, said Chuck Canterbury, the organization's president. I'm sure you don't. Had this been Barack Obama, I'm sure that would be a different tenor coming out of the Fraternal Order of Police. That is the government's responsibility in each local area, he said. But presidential candidates should consider paying cities police bills, even if they don't believe they are legally required to do so, other police advocates said. The fiscal impact on local governments, especially during campaign seasons, is critical. In critical vote states or communities can be significant, says Richard Myers, executive director of the Major Cities Chiefs Association and former police chief for several cities, including Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Newport News, Virginia. When one considers how much money campaigns raise and spend, it does not seem unreasonable to expect some degree of reimbursement for such demands for service. Five municipal public safety bills from Green Bay and Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Tucson, Arizona, Burlington, Vermont, and Spokane, Washington date back to 2016 before Trump became president. So this motherfucker is raking up bills all across the country, ain't paid nobody. But, you know, make America great again, right? Yeah. Whatever, man. What the fuck ever. But that has been Proud to Be a Goddamn American, man.
That I'm proud to be an American. Where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
All right, that's enough of that shit. It's time for our ass hat of the week.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
And our ass hat of the week this week on the Span Report podcast is none other than Mitch McConnell. And the reason why Mitch McConnell is the ass hat of the week this week, man, is because, he been out here kind of wilding. Now, of course, earlier in the show, we kind of spoke about the fact that, yo, it was Juneteenth yesterday. And there have been discussions about reparations and whether or not the United States of America should pay reparations to the descendants of slaves here in the States. And Mitch McConnell was asked about his thoughts on whether or not African Americans should receive reparations in America. And I'm going to just go ahead and play exactly what the fuck Mitch McConnell had to say about this particular idea.
I don't think reparations for something that happened 150 years ago for whom none of us currently living are responsible is a good idea. We've tried to deal with our original sin of slavery by fighting a civil war, by passing landmark civil rights legislation. We've elected an African-American president. I think we're always a work in progress in this country, but no one currently alive was responsible for that. And I don't think we should be trying to figure out how to compensate for it. First of all, it'd be pretty hard to figure out who to compensate. We've had waves of immigrants as well who've come to the country and experienced dramatic discrimination of one kind or another. So, no, I don't think reparations are a good idea. I don't think.
All right. So, check this out. You know, This is a tried and true argument that, hey, you know, you guys are talking about reparations. I didn't have any slaves. I don't know. My granddaddy might not have had slaves. I mean, why should you get a check for something that you didn't even suffer from, you know? And I could ask the same question for white America is like, why should you reap the benefits for something that you didn't actually do either, right? Because truth be told, a lot of white America are the recipients of benefits meted out from the legacy of slavery here in America. And it wasn't just slavery. It was Jim Crow. It was the Black Codes. It was redlining. It was lynching. It was a host of other things, man. Like, you think about the gerrymandering of the disenfranchisement of Black voters in America. When you think about what happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma, in Rosewood, Florida, where there were Black enclaves, where Black people were pretty much existing and successfully existing without white America's interference at all. And suddenly all of that is torn away, blown up, people lynched, people killed out of white jealousy, right? When black people started executing on their political power and winning legislative offices and having those rights stripped away from them, having those votes taken away from them. There's a legacy that continues on to this day, to this very day. So the idea that you could say, well, I wasn't responsible and nobody that's alive now is responsible for slavery, that doesn't mean that you didn't reap the motherfucking benefits, man. That your people didn't reap the benefits of what happened to black people here in America. And that you stand as in opposition to a lot of the advancements that these people would have happen right now. You talked about the election of a black president, whom you openly said you were trying to keep to one term. Whom you openly and openly spoke in opposition to and tried to, thwart any sort of legislative achievements that man tried to put forth. Whom you stole a Supreme Court justice nominee from. Like, this turtle-looking bastard to have the audacity to stand up there and say, well, we fought a civil war and we passed civil rights legislation. Civil rights legislation that we have been slowly but surely rolling the fuck back. With this particular dude right now as a Senate majority leader, rolling the fuck back. Him and Donald Trump, with them in tandem, rolling a lot of these laws back. So the idea that he would stand up there and say, well, we've been working on this. No, you have it, my nigga. And I'm not calling you my nigga affectionately. I'm saying I shouldn't even use that term with you. But yeah, man. Mitch McConnell. Fucking asshat. Turtle certain bitch. Asshat of the week here at the Span Report Podcast.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ. And as we talk about reparations and we talk about Juneteenth and we talk about the discussion and we also talk about Mitch McConnell, there was a response to Mitch McConnell. And that response to Mitch McConnell was given by none other than Ta-Nehisi Coates while speaking on this before the Congress on the case for reparations. He gives us a thorough history lesson on reparations. So Ta-Nehisi Coates went before Congress to speak about this particular issue. As a matter of fact, did I have the video for this? Let me see if I can pull it out. Do I have that video? I do not. However, we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Vox.com. It says, journalist and author. Wait, there is video. See, I had to give it a little time to load up. Let me pull this up so you guys can watch this right along with me. Yeah, Clove is in here like, but people currently alive are benefiting from it. Yeah, that's the thing that pisses everybody off. That's the thing that pisses everybody off. But we're going to read it. We're going to actually play this video. So let me pull that up. Here we go.
And so for a century after the Civil War, black people were subject to a relentless campaign of terror, a campaign that extended well into the lifetime of Majority Leader McConnell. It is tempting to divorce this modern campaign of terror, of plunder, from enslavement. But the logic of enslavement, of white supremacy, respects no such borders. And the god of bondage was lustful and begat many heirs, coup d'etats and convict leasing, vagrancy laws and debt peonage, redlining and racist GI bills, poll taxes and state-sponsored terrorism. We grant that Mr. McConnell was not alive for Appomattox, but he was alive for the electrocution of George Stinney. He was alive for the blinding of Isaac Woodward. He was alive to witness kleptocracy in his native Alabama and a regime premised on electoral theft. Majority Leader McConnell cited civil rights legislation yesterday, as well he should, because he was alive to witness the harassment, jailing, and betrayal of those responsible for that legislation by a government sworn to protect them. He was alive for the redlining of Chicago and the looting of black homeowners of some $4 billion. Victims of that plunder are very much alive today. I am sure they'd love a word with the majority leader.
Yeah, man. Ta-Nehisi Coates said it way more succinctly than I ever could. And so we're going to end it on that note. Ta-Nehisi Coates, the champ of the week this week here at the Spare Report Podcast, man. Real talk. But I've been running my mouth for quite some time. And it's time for us to get on up out of here. But of course, before we do, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. You can go ahead and hit us up at that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, I will play those messages here on the show and respond right here to you on the show. You can also hit us up on the email at feedback@thespanreport.com. That's feedback@thespanreport.com. Leave us those emails, man, and those emails will get read here live on the show, and I will respond to those here live here as well. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so go ahead and follow me there. Chop it up with your man Span throughout the week, man. Also, you can hit me up on the iTunes and or Stitcher. Those 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here on the show, man. We really do appreciate everybody who goes out and do those 5-star reviews. It doesn't cost you a dime, just 2 minutes of your time to tell somebody why you fuck with us over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. Also, you can hit us up at www.thespanreport.com. You can go there, watch replays of the show. You can vote in the polls. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network. Shout out to those of you who are our patrons, man. Shout out to our patrons. Let me go ahead and shout them out again, man. Dre, Muddy, Kimberly B, and Stacy. Shout out to you guys. We really do appreciate every dime that you guys give. And like I said, those gifts are on their way to you. Those gifts are on their way to you. Shout out to those people. Donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like, and it helps everything over here at the Spare Report Podcast Network. You guys really don't understand how much this really does help. So thank you to everybody who's doing that. And it's time for us to get on up out of here. I want to thank everybody in the chat room, and I will talk to you guys again soon. But until next time, fam, peace.